Amen. Hi, Benita. You're out walking, aren't you? Is it cold up there? It must
It
be.
must
You got
be. Yeah, it was cold today. It was windy and cold.
Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for another time together with all of our brothers and sisters. And Lord, even all those people out there that are listening later on, and we praise you and we thank you for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. Let it be a blessing, Lord, to everybody that would draw them closer to you, Lord. And let our thoughts and our language be nothing but you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you and I honor you, Lord, for leading and guiding us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, has anybody got and I better get up here close to this thing. Has anybody got a prayer they'd like to pray? Lord, we thank you for bringing down the deep state. We praise you and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that Babylon has fallen and that revival is soon to start. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you that you're orchestrating now the angels to get ready for this great and wonderful revival that's fixing to take place. And Lord, get us ready to have us ready to go and to be able to operate in the gifts, and that it would all be wonderful and that we would evangelize as many as we can get in, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you that we can get in as many as you want us to get in. And that's all that we can get to. And we praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Lord, give us megaphone mouths when we need it. In Jesus' name. And we praise you and thank you for the, And we praise you for that, Lord. Glory be to God. And let our words come from you, Lord. The words that would affect everybody's heart and bring them to their knees in repentance. We thank you for this revival being a revival of repentance all over the world. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We pray your anointing upon all those that have been praying for this revival, Lord, that when the time comes, that your anointing would just be so heavy that people would come and hit their knees before all of your people. And we praise you for that, Lord, that all of them would be true repentance in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Julie.
Amen. Amen. And Lord, we also ask that you would just prepare our hearts, Lord. Help us to walk in the fullness of the light that we have, Lord, and that you put that faith in our hearts through your word and seeking your face, wanting to draw near to you, that your bride, Lord, is running after you and desiring you and saying no to the flesh, overcoming our flesh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and not loving our life even unto death. And that you're manifesting those things in our lives, God, as we pray them and believe them and act in that faith and walk it out. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for getting us all ready, and that we know that there's a time coming here soon, Lord, where you're going to choose your bride, and that door's going to be closed. For all that that means for the bride and the man child, and that those who are not serious about you, Lord, you know that. You know their hearts, Father, and we pray that you would even send revival now into each and every one of our brothers and sisters who have maybe gotten lax in things or just fallen, they're in some kind of condemnation or listening to the enemy in some form, that they're not good enough or they've got this failure or that. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would turn people even right now to walk on that path of righteousness for your name's sake as you lead us, and that we have everything by faith and we can't earn it ourselves, Lord, but stir up the gifts within us, Lord. Help us to be diligent in our faith. to overcome and to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I also pray, Lord, for the fear of the Lord on your people, all of us. I pray it for myself. I pray it for everybody, Lord, that we are truly walking before you in humility and in wanting to be pleasing to you, God. You know, sacrifices of our praise and not giving up hope and not wanting to get out ahead of you, helping us to be, Lord, delivered of anything that we might be struggled with, that there's no, though that whole long list of our of the flesh, you know, the works of the flesh, Lord, that we're all delivered from those things manifestly, God, as we walk it out, and that you're doing it. Lord, we see the fruit in each and every one of us. We look in the mirror and we see Jesus. And I pray for encouragement, Lord, for all our brethren. I pray that you bring people back who are supposed to be part of our fellowship, Lord. And you know who they are. But more importantly, even if they're not part of the bride, God, but they're still running after you and they're still believing you and they're still seeking your face, God. And you know who's part of your bride and who's not. And for the reasons they've kind of disassociated from the fellowship. And there's all kinds of reasons, not that they've fallen away, that they are busy with other things or they're going through some heavy trials right now, Lord, because you're sanctifying them in the areas that they need sanctification in. So we praise you for that, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that you're raising up the men to be the leadership who they're supposed to be for this day, for this hour that we've been called for such a time as this, Lord. And you're raising up all the men to be the leadership over your church, Lord, that they're heads of their families, their heads over their flesh, that Christ is ruling and reigning in them, Lord, and that you will accomplish that good work in each and every one of them. And fulfill that ministry, Lord, for the fivefold ministry, and bring Brother David and Brother Michael the help that they need within the body, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for the awesome work you're doing and the promises that we have, Lord, that you're not slow, Lord. You're a lot of times I think you're gracious and you're waiting on us. And I thank you, Lord, for catching us up and getting us ready to rise up. I was reading one of those words that you gave Debbie Fenske here not too long ago in April about rise up and run and keep your eyes on the prize. And it's so close. So, Lord, help us to be mindful of you all the time and doing what we've been called to do. We pray your blessing on each and every one of us, Lord. I pray your blessing on our ministry. Individually and as a body, and I pray for your blessing on our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
To God. All right, anyone else want to pray? Thank you, Lord, for wonderful weather. We thank you, Lord, that you have stopped the weather manipulation in this country. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, that the planes have been downed and the people have been taken care of, and we praise you for it, Father. And no more weather manipulation. Thank you for bringing down HAARP and all the rest of those little weapons that they have against the weather. In Jesus' name, go ahead, Julie.
Lord, I also noticed that there was fires down in Florida, even like the on in the Everglades. I mean, is the drought that bad that it's they've got fires in the Everglades? It looked very suspicious to me from what I saw. I didn't read go into deep go into read detail into it, but it was in the Everglades and it was all in a straight line, you know, that didn't look right. So, Lord, we thank you for bringing down the enemy, the deep state, and all of their fires that they're creating. The destruction that they're causing. We cast that down. We send the angels to bring down the deep state, continue to drain the swamp and bring it, take away their funding, take away their resources, take away their ability to continue to cause these atrocities, Lord, and trying to, whatever their purpose is, it's not good. If they want to steal land and drive people out of the land and that kind of thing, Lord, we command that to cease in Jesus' name, and we send the angels to do it. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the authority you've given us, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what's going on down in the swamp, Lord, but you do, and we thank you, Father, for helping them get that thing under control. In Jesus' name, amen. There's Barbara. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
And Father, I also thank you that you're doing all these great, mighty things, Lord, that we don't even know about. But I know there's been a lot of earthquake swarms around here lately. I saw, see, it was Saturday night and just most of the day. It was Saturday afternoon and all Saturday night and Sunday morning. Just a swarm of earthquakes. Most of them were 2 point something, but some got as high as almost 5. And so, Lord, I don't, they were not deep earthquakes, they were shallow. And I praise you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state and finding and destroying all of these underground tunnels. This was probably, I don't know, maybe close to 100 miles from the Mexican border, give or take. I don't know, I didn't measure it out. But Lord, I thank you that these underground tunnels where they're bringing drugs and whatnot, who knows what, all through these tunnels and stuff, that these things are found and taken care of, Lord. And if there's any children there, Lord, that they have been found and rescued and returned to their families and
Set
restored and
free.
healed and delivered. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that this continue, that not any children are left in these places, God. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing into all this drug trafficking, take down this pharmakia, these laboratories, their bioweaponry, their take away their funding to and their ability to make these poisons, and that they're distributing and making billions of dollars with. Lord, we say no to this. It's got to come to an end, God. In Jesus' name, for your name's sake, Lord, for your mercy, God, we pray for the deliverance of people, Lord, that are getting bound up into this addiction, and it's man-made, it's planned, it's wicked, and they want to take people out through whatever means, God. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing down their evil. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I'm going to pray about these wars going on. Father, I thank you, Lord, for changing hearts, put it in the hearts of all that have any decision making and what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, Zelensky and Putin, and even President Trump being the go between or whatever, the peacemaker or whatever, just put in all their hearts to come to an agreement and to end this war, Lord. And also with Iran and the US and Israel and Lebanon, Hezbollah, whatever, and in Lebanon, Lord, we just send forth your angels to do whatever it takes, Lord, to bring agreements of peace, Lord, because it's my understanding that we're not going to see this global currency reset until these wars are finished. So Father, we know you're in control and you change the hearts of men, and we just ask you to do that and bring peace and bring the financing that the kingdom needs for this great revival that's coming, Lord. We thank you, Father, for pouring out your spirit too, Lord, and anointing your man child. And we just thank you, Lord, for this great revival, Lord, for bringing many into the kingdom, for bringing our families that aren't in the kingdom yet, for bringing revival to those that are, that have backslidden, Lord. And we just, for just this great revival to sweep across this whole earth, Lord. And so that, Lord, when it's all said and done, Lord, you can come and get us off this mud ball, as David would say. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. We look forward to seeing signs and wonders and miracles and all this stuff, Lord, that we so desire to be used of you in such a mighty way, Lord. And even now we desire that we know that you can use us now, and Lord, help us to not miss an opportunity, Lord. Even now, Lord, move on our hearts and our spirits to help give us your eyes and your ears, and to by your spirit to see and know and move, give us your words, Lord, to speak whatever we need to speak, Lord, by the power of your spirit to those around us, Lord, that you bring across our path, point people out to us, bring people to us, whatever it takes, Lord. And that we know, Lord, that this is an opportunity, Lord, and you know who are yours, and we just thank you, Lord, for doing that and giving us the bold faith and even greater faith and even bolder faith than what we already have, Lord. And help us to always use our imagination, Father, to see the things that we're believing for, see ourselves doing these greater works, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for the power of your spirit in us and the even greater power that you're going to put on us through your anointing pouring out of your spirit, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. We just say, come quickly, Lord. This earth is needs you desperately, Lord. The your elect on this earth need you desperately. And we thank you, Lord, for making us all holy and sanctified and perfected in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, thank you, Father. Lord, I just ask for your protection upon all your people from here going on the little trip tomorrow. And I praise you, Father, for getting them there and allowing them to fellowship the whole time and bring them back safely, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Okay, Julie, you got a song? Ma'am? Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's breaking up, Julie.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Of all my fears. This prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won, and I am redeemed. You set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You said, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. 'Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who God redeemed.
Praise you, Lord. We are redeemed. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sorry.
Barbara's been set free. Lord, our God, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen and amen.
Praise God. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share before we get started into real good news? Yeah, Anna.
Sorry, it took me a minute there to get unmuted. I'm on my phone. I wanted to praise the Lord. I don't think Debbie shared it here, but Debbie Fenske shared with me, and I was just so blessed by it. I don't know how many, if any of you guys saw that live stream where the Lord had told me to sing in tongues. And it was kind of like, oh man, like, Lord, are you sure? And anyways, Deb Horton had reached out to Debbie to pass on to me that she knew a lady that was so touched by that. that she asked the Lord for the Holy Spirit, and she was filled with the whole language and just started singing in
Thank you,
tongues,
Jesus.
just flowing out of her. And Deb
Oh, God.
herself got a partial interpretation. And give me just a second, I can tell you what it was. It's John something. But I was so blessed. Like, wow, like it's just such a good feeling for God to use you. Like, you know you're nothing, and yet he uses you anyways. Okay, the interpretation she received, she called it a partial interpretation. John 1:3, without him was not anything made that hath been made. So it was just so encouraging. Like, I don't know. It's just hard to say. Like, I was so encouraged. Like, okay, like, Lord, I did hear from you. Like, okay, this wasn't for nothing. Like, I don't know. Just to be used of God is so beautiful. So praise the Lord. All glory to him.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, Missy. Thank you, Anna.
I just want to share a little bit about my cousin Billy. I hadn't seen him for years, and neither has any of the family. He used to live in Delaware, and about a year ago, I tried to get a hold of him, and I wasn't sure how I would be receiving it, and he didn't answer any of my texts or anything like that. And here it was, his old number of his business that he had. He had a limo business, and he sold that 3 years ago, moved to Florida. This is all that I found out anyway. And he was so, I was just like shocked. I was dumbfounded when he just started talking, just text. Actually, it was email. I found his email, and I emailed him hoping that it really was his, and it was. So I was like, praise the Lord. It didn't take him long to respond back. This was last evening, but anyway. And he had told me that he had okay, it was in June, and this was like maybe a month or so after I tried to contact him. And I know it was all of the Lord. He wouldn't have, I'm convinced that the Lord showed me he wouldn't have received it, even if I could have actually got a hold of him. He wouldn't have received my invitation to a family gathering last year around this time. And but in June last year, now he's 54 years old, and he had what they call widow maker heart attack. And that's when your main artery is 100% clogged. If you can say that, that sounds like plumbing, but anyway. It was blocked there. That's the word. It was 100% blocked. But anyway, and so he had three stents put in at that time, and then in August he had triple bypass surgery. And he said that he's been through a lot, and he said he's been married 30 years now, and he has five children and five grandkids. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, you outnumbered me all around. But anyway, so I was just like, and he was just sharing his heart about some things, you know, concerning his dad and stuff like that, who passed away. I'm not sure. Maybe around 2010 or so. I'm not positive. But I just, gosh, when he just was sharing this stuff with me, I just started crying. I mean, twice he shared some kind of sensitive stuff with me, and I just started crying. And you know, I was just like, oh, my heart just went out to him. And I just had to tell him, you know, I said, I hope you know Jesus loves you. And I'm not sure if he directly responded to that or not. He gave me a stream of a bunch of different things he was saying. And then at the end, then he says, and I'm okay. And I don't know if that was his response to that or not, but I told my sister, and actually my sister had texted me, and she said, can you see if you can reach out and see if you ask Billy to come to the family gathering again? And I said, I was thinking about that. You know, I've been praying for him ever since the Lord just really put him on my heart. It was a little more than a year ago that I first, I was going through some family pictures, and I came across a picture of him, and he was like, He couldn't have been more than 20. And it's kind of like you hadn't seen him for a long time and nobody talked about him or anything. And it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. And I felt, it was just like, I felt so bad. You know, I prayed for all the other family. I was like, oh, so I started praying for him. So I, you know, and I know that was of the Lord because I was thinking about contacting him and she mentioned it to me. And then, you know, I waited till the evening just to make sure that he was m more likely probably home. And so anyway, so he said it was okay for me to give his email and phone number to my mom and my sister and my brother. And but anyway, he lives in Florida now, and that's the gist of it. But I was like so ecstatic. I was just like, oh, praise you, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, that this is all of you and that you're gonna bring him to yourself. Lord, you're so good. You know, this whole heart attack thing and all this that he's been through with his heart and everything, I know that was your softening of him, his heart, you know, to receive my email and all. And just not just to receive my email, but just to share the things that he shared. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for bringing him in the kingdom, granting him repentance and belief in you, Lord. And I ask you to make a way, Lord, for us, for the family to see him and get together with him, Lord. You can move mountains, Lord. And when he comes up to Delaware, first half of June, Lord, I ask you to make a way, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that it will be a joyful time to see him for everybody. And I pray that we get to see some of his family too. I don't know I think he's probably he still has kids that live in Delaware, even though he moved to Florida. So, but Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you and I praise you, Lord. For all that you're doing in Billy's heart, softening him up and bringing him into the kingdom as well as the rest of his family. In Jesus' name, praise you and I thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? All right. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Michael, I just want to face this face. Okay. Good morning, everybody. I just faced that text. I just want to find out, is there a difference between, a spiritual difference between your waist and your loins, what they talk about in Isaiah 11? Is there a spiritual difference between that?
You get that, dear?
Yeah. He wants to know if there's a spiritual difference regarding the girdle of his waist and girdle of his loins. What's the difference between the loins and the waist when he's talking about that scripture he posted in the chat? Is that right, Joe?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
All right, does anyone want to answer that for Joe? Do you know the answer, Joe?
No, not sure about it, no.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
I don't know, the spiritual, I mean, in the natural, they would tuck up, from what I've read, they would tuck up like their long, garments around their waist. They would come up from behind and tuck it, and it'd be wrapped around their waist. There'd be some kind of belt there, I think. So in the natural, you need the waist, so that you can, so they could run, so they could walk, so they could, do whatever, work, physical work they had to do. So they would, so spiritually, I don't know what all that might entail, but maybe then seeing it in the natural might help you figure that out as far as what it would be like in spiritual.
I mean, has anybody else got anything? I'll tell you what, let's just think on this for a while. Just write this down, write the scripture down, and we'll study on it for a little bit and see what we come up with. That's Isaiah 11 and 3, right, Joe?
Lemon five.
I mean five, yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yes, righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. Okay. That's a good one. All right. Thank you, Joe. I'd give us something to think on here and ask the Lord about. Anybody else? All right. Anybody got something else they'd like to add, like to talk about?
Michael,
Hi,
sorry,
Joe.
can I ask, well, other ask, well, what is your or everybody's thinking about Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 12.
Proverbs
It's
17
just,
and 12.
yeah.
Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly.
Oh, I was thinking it's if a man meets a bear that drops of a cup, you're dead. If you've never got any protection, yeah, you're dead. But then, rather than a fool in his folly, it just sounds so. You're meeting a bear, that's you have to be very clever. That's just what you're thinking about it, Michael, or everybody else.
So a fool and his folly is more dangerous than a bear robbed of her whelps. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, as you know, in Matthew 25, there's the 10 virgins. Five are wise and five are foolish. I think he's stressing that it would be better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than to run into a fool, because in chapter 26 of Proverbs, there's the real fool, and then there's the fool who seems to be just a young person in the Lord, you know. And you know, babies and young small children sometimes get to be a little bit foolish. And I think a foolish thing multiplies itself as well as wisdom would multiply itself, you know. So you would prefer to be not around a fool anyway, because it's the kingdom is likened to the 10 virgins. 5, which would be all your appendages on the right hand, and 5 on the left. So you don't want to be on the left hand, you want to be on the right hand in that case. Mm-hmm. And of course, all the other parables in chapter 25, it's amazing that these are the chapters after Matthew 24 too, which speaks of the end times. So you know, foolishness would lead to foolishness gives the fruit of the flesh, I would assume, whereas wisdom would be the light of God, you know, in you. And it's one of the lights in the lamp. So he's just, I think it's a really cautionary verse. As for the other verse, the only thing I got on that was, well, you're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And you're girt, he wants to be girded, which is a clothing piece. And all I got there is you're supposed to be having a snow-white clothing garment of righteousness and a breastplate over top of it, which is your protection of your righteousness. And then you have a shield of faith or a buckler, but he's talking about it being around your loins too, to be faithful, to be covered by the faithfulness of God's plan for your life in Ephesians 3:11-12. Now, the plan is, of course, is Christ in you. So if you're going to be faithful, you have, the faith is, of course, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because, you know, before the faith came, you were kept inward under law, shut up from the faith to be revealed. So this is something you want to be clothed with, is the faithfulness, because even the foolishness of the thing that happened to these Galatians, you know, is a foolishness of some things that we see in the church today, because each one of these denominations have their own narrative that separate each one. And that's not a very big thing. Sometimes people think about the circumcision there and that one error, but there were some other errors there, you know, times and seasons and Sabbaths and stuff. But yeah, it's cautionary. It's very cautionary that we speak righteously, we speak faithfully, according to the faith, according to the three witnesses that bear record in heaven, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And God agrees in all those three. So all three are spiritual. You know, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. And these words have a habit of cleansing us. So But the best thing you can have clothing for, and I have to say it again, is your sanctuary, which is God the Father and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, because he's making us lambs. He's making us sheep. So that's Revelation 21:22, where if the Lord was to open you up, what would he find, you know? Because he's going to open the sanctuary in heaven. That's what it says in Revelation. But what would that mean? You know, what would that mean when it says that in Revelation, that he opens the sanctuary? When we know the sanctuary is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that would be my question. But I can't remember where it says it in Revelation. Because to be clothed with the sanctuary of God the Father, wow, is pretty special. And the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time, you know, I can tell you that love, agape style, has a lot to do with it. And love is a behavior of obedience at all times. If any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode in him. And there is a sanctuary with that abode, you know. All those wonderful qualities of this sanctuary, which is the abode, and it's your abide, and it's this clothing too. It's the girdle, because if you're going to put on the clothing, the proper clothing, which is sheathed in righteousness and in faithfulness, it's interesting clothing. You know, it's not like a suit you can go buy at Walmart or something, you know. And it's a sanctuary part too of you, this righteousness. We know the most quoted verse for righteousness is in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him who knew no sin, God made sin on our behalf, that we might be made righteousness of God. So that's the big guy, in Christ, in him, you know, in Christ Jesus. So it's yes, you become righteous when you become born again, but we also want to overcome. There's a triple overcoming in overcoming is the living is the word of God and active. And we have to be active in this word. In him we live, move, and have our being. So it's in him. So it's like a sanctuary. It could be compared to clothing. It could be compared to a house. It could be compared to being a branch grafted into the vine, or an olive branch grafted into the olive tree. So there's a lot of overlappings, I think, when it comes to the new name that we receive in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and in God the Father. So it's amazing on how that name that you're water baptized into can also lead to a spirit baptism. To get the gifts of tongues even, and be baptized in the Spirit in some item, to get an item where, you know, it's been a while since I've had a healing or something, but, you know, you've experienced them, or when God changed things, and did a miracle to stop the rain for you or something, you know, and kind of shows you quite a bit in that these things that happened to you in the past, you know, when he appeared, when he shined, when he manifested, when it was active around you, the Word of God, you know, and it's an exciting time to have that happen, and to be active in that clothing of Christ, to put on the, you know, in Him we live, move, and have our being. You know, there's a sanctuary in that, you know. And what does sanctuary really mean? You know, like, I don't know, sometimes you're out somewhere visiting, and then you come back home and say, oh, finally I'm home, you know, or finally I'm in my place where I like to be the most, you know. And it's not that you don't like to be with family members, but it's just, you want everyone to have their sanctuary, to have their place in Christ, you know, the new life, you know, of 1 Corinthians 15:45, you know, the first Adam and the last Adam, you know, a life-giving spirit. There's a sanctuary in that. There's just endless things when the Lord tells you things. It's so wonderful and amazing, you know, that you think it's too good to be true. But if He's telling you the truth, you know, why do we have this opinion of ourselves as being so low when He's trying to lift us up, you know? So if it's in everything and in anything, He's bringing you to that grace, you know, to be the completed person, the completed man by the Word of God, you know, that God breathed verse in 2 Timothy, I think it's 3:16. The teaching, which is the gospel, and the correction, the rebuke, and I'm just trying to get away from that, because it's a better word in the NENT than it is in the King James, and I can't think of the word now, and where you're thoroughly furnished with this a discipline, that's it, the discipline in righteousness, to be that completed man there's a discipline in righteousness, you know, to be that man, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and the righteousness is next to holiness, because we know that from the last page. He that is righteous shall be righteous, and he that is holy shall be made holy still. And it's this clothing of righteousness is so important, how God makes it for you. He that is righteous doeth righteously, even as he is righteous, you know. And when does the righteousness come? Does it come in the first overcoming? Is there something else you need, you know? And because overcoming to holiness, you know? So what are these sanctuary things, these comforting things of a wonderful sanctuary of the Spirit of God in you, you know? I know that the Holy Spirit comes forth out of the Father to help you live this new life of Christ. And that in itself is a sanctuary too. His name is a sanctuary. It's compelling to note all these wonderful things that people pray for, and you know, even you know, the help of the when we should be praying the Psalms. There, I was praying a Psalm today, and No, I think it was Psalm 35, and I think it's really important to pray that prayer, because you see all the stuff going on around you, and people should have a look at that first verse there, because it's quite renowned, quite profound on how you got to escape from what the world is doing as well, and what we're seeing in the world. Yeah, so I really like the sanctuary verse in 6 and 16, because, you know, it says, and God saith that, you know, and it makes me think of Genesis. God's word creates, you know. If God says that he's going to dwell in them and walk, that you are the sanctuary of God, you know, and it's just amazing, you know. And it's, like I said once, it's bracketed, and thus saith the Lord, you know. In the 18th verse, at the very last verse of 5 and 18 there, you know. I've been reading those verses every day, you know, and it just takes you on a cruise, you know. And it makes you go, wow, man, like, God saith that, and thus saith the Lord, you know, in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. And then it's the very next verse, you know, who you taking with you, you know, let us, you know, who are all these us's and as and in, you know, in Christ Jesus, you know, and who's, there's the sanctuary word on how to get in it, you know, in all these things, and they're all part of his grace, you know, in every single one of those unity words. I know there's the big ones that are fellowship and communion and concord and portion and agreement. Those are unity words, but sometimes the unity words is an entire phrase where you're supposed to be an ambassador. That's a unity word with the kingdom. And the kingdom is nigh you. And the king, when a manifestation happens, the kingdom is within you and nigh you. And seek ye first the kingdom. And this kingdom is all those places that is a sanctuary in itself too. And it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. And it's with the two, the Father, the magnificent glory in Christ, the Son, that we have a sanctuary, and that's the kingdom, because it's a corporate kingdom and it's a corporate body. And it's one body, one spirit, one hope of the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith. And we discussed, put on the girdle of faithfulness, you know, and there's only one, you know, it's not this plurality of denominationalism. So I sure hope I encourage the people to really look at what God gave us in this new home we have, this new temple or moving temple of a tabernacle, which is a sanctuary and an abiding place in a house of God. And it could even be a vessel on the sea. So tame that tongue, because someone's with you at all times. You know, I will dwell in them and walk and be their God, you know. And this rudder we have gets out of hand sometimes for all of us, but at least I know I'm not doing the same mistakes as everyone else. I am doing the same mistakes as everyone else, you know. And, you know, and we get tossed to and fro, you know, and you're not supposed to. You know, he's got a stable ship. He controls this sanctuary. And how you get there, you know, you just have to be crucified with him, just like Paul said in 2:20. You know, that's how you enter this sanctuary. And of course, God did that, but he wants, let us cleanse ourselves. God don't need no cleaning, and neither does Jesus. We do. So we know who's getting cleansed of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, which is a light that leads you to wisdom, and it leads you to understanding and the strength of the Lord, and it's just wonderful. I can talk on and on about it, so I'm just going to let someone else talk. Praise God. Glory. Oh, there's a sanctuary, you know. When you're feeling low and during the day, you know, and you don't know what's going on, just like the sirens going off right now, I want some sanctuary. I don't know. Is it the fire engines this time, or is it the ambulance, or is it the police car, or maybe? Oh no, it's the fire engines. So somebody's on fire anyway. So I hope it's the right one. They're going to get hosed down anyway. Praise God and glory to God for all things. And I pray that wherever he's going, that it's not a big emergency. It's just a false alarm, and someone pulled the fire alarm. And some child might get in trouble. So hopefully they got him.
Thank you. It's a fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah. I remember stories from Azusa Street. They had trouble with the fire department because the fire of the Holy Spirit would be all over the building. And people would holler, the church is on fire over there. And then they'd come over there and the Holy Ghost.
You know, I often wonder, you know, maybe they were being, having some of their wood, hay, and stubble being burnt up, you know. Is not my word a consuming fire? When they walked together with Jesus and didn't recognize that it was Jesus, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke with us? You know, and it would be really nice to have that, you know, to just be. And you know, when you do hear someone speaking and you do get on a fire like that inside, it's like it's building inside of you. And you know what that is. That's more of your living place. Yeah. And it's showing you how it might be activated in you when the time really comes for you to need it. You know, it's like someone giving that blessed sermon that y'all like to hear, and or that nice, you know, time when you read Sovereign God in us and through us, and it sort of really, you know, gushed inside, and it made your spirit rise. And that's what I think we might have. When people talk about feelings and stuff, you know, that's what you want, you know, that kind of feeling, you know. It's hard to put into words, but that's as close as I can come to it, you know. And when you know, you just know that it's going to happen. There is interferences with that too, for us too, because, you know, the tempter is always trying to mess us up with something. Especially if we want to talk about the Lord with someone who doesn't know the Lord, he can try and mess you up there too, you know. Anyway, you know, I remember once talking to a girl at work when I used to work. I did it all right, you know. I told her everything. And she even said, you know, Andrew, I never heard it said that way before. But sometimes you can just talk too much with the worldly and you wait, you know, because the next move has to be God's move here. They have to, what should we do? You know, they said that in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. What should we do now, you know, Lord? And well, you should pray, you know. Even the Philip went to go see the Ethiopian. Well, what do I do now, you know? you need to receive the Lord. Yeah, but what after? Well, we've got to find a pool of water for you, you know. And he did it, you know, and it was all supplied, you know, soon, you know, going further down the war road, maybe walking his horse that's attached to his chariot, you know. Oh, here's a pool. Let's do this here, you know, and all supplied. He found the right resting place for his horse. You know, those truckers out there, you should let your truck rest for a while too, because it's not a horse, you know, and common sense, you know, you can't keep a motor going all the time, and you can't keep a horse going all the time either, and you can't keep a person going all the time either. Some people are really hard workers, you know, and they can work from sun up to sun down. Some people have experienced that. There's a good parable in that, I think. Praise God.
Okay. Amen, Andrew. Good stuff. You know, something that was crossing my mind is fear of the Lord. What does that actually mean to us as believers in our walk with the Lord? And that's just something I'm going to throw out there. Where is it? I think it's in, oh gosh. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's in Psalms, isn't it? Yep. Okay. Why is it the beginning of wisdom? Barbara?
I often ask myself that too, that question. And what I come up with is it's like a reverence fear, like a respect, a deep respect. I mean, I don't know, because sometimes I tremble when I read the word. I mean, he can. I'm not sure really how I want to describe it, but it's like, I mean, we don't fear him like scared of him, but yet in the same time we fear him. I mean, he could put us in hell, you know. I mean, but that's not where, I'm not sure how to describe it. Like, it, to me, it's a deep respect, you know, like a reverential fear. Never mind, because I don't know how to describe it, how it's coming in my head, so.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, sometimes you can speak some wisdom because it's been given to you. And you can speak the wisdom, for instance, that you can speak about a parable or something, you know. And because, you know, the parables, you know, we all have to visit that parable in Matthew 22, you know. And you know, it's to try and convince these people who are called, but to get to this bride standing, to get to the father who wants to throw for his son, a great king who wants to throw for his son a wedding feast, you know, and you try to tell him, like, he's calling the people that are bidden. They made light of it, but they didn't have time for it. And, you know, you'd speak that wisdom to someone who thinks that everybody's the bride, you know, and you try to defend yourself from this, you know, you have to confess, you know, you have to make a good confession to the church, to people who are carnal in the church, to people who are newbies in the church. You know, they just got baptized, you know, in the water. And if you don't speak up, you know, it's sort of a fearful thing not to say something when you should say something. And, you know, you go, well, it's like this, you know, when I was at work, there was a guy who knew about the mark of the beast, but he's not saved. So I guess someone's throwing the pearls before the swine. Why would you teach someone that and continue to teach them unless they have the pearl of great price? And the pearl is likened to a door, a doorway, and that we know who the door is in John chapter 10. So he would say some real nasty stuff in my wilderness walk about that. You know, he would laugh about it. And he would, it's like he knew something that could potentially do with something wrong, you know, for the church. And I think a lot of people know about it who are not supposed to know about that. There, at one time, I used to, he would talk to me in front of other people. And when I was talking about the Lord, just briefly to the people who are in the world, in some sort of denomination, that is, and I said to him, I forget what the situation was, I said, you're not supposed to know that, you know. And it was another item, so because I knew he wasn't a Christian, but he seemed to have been around a lot, you know, and something happened there. I don't know what it is. Anyway, that's sort of a fear for others. I don't know if that could be compounded to the fear of the Lord also, because it's just interesting on what the Lord, you may have went through something in your past life as a Christian, and you should ask the Lord if there was something there that you need to be reminded of that happened in your, when you were in the wilderness, making your way closer and closer to God. And he'll give you those answers. He'll even show you things before you were saved, because he's predestining you. He's preparing your land, either to come out of the lands that we know that are there in the parable of the sower, because there are people who've had some experience, you know, and then the seed gets wished away from them, you know, and then there's the other ones where, well, you know, the variables around the four different lands anyway. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Julie.
I was thinking I had to look it up, but as Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, you know, because I guess when I started understanding about him and who I am, and I'm just, you know, we're man, we're nothing, but yet he loves us, he created us, there's this, like, you come into this balance of fearing God because he's God and he knows every thought even before you have them, you know, and he sees everything, he knows everything about everything and everybody, if they're, you know, so you don't want, I don't want to do anything that I would get a spanking for, obviously. And I don't want to do anything that would displease him. And, you know, it's where Paul wrote too, to receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your soul. I mean, meekness, humility, lowliness. I mean,
But at the same time, we're supposed to come to these little children that we can just ask him anything. We can come sit on our daddy's lap and, call him Abba Father. I mean, there's that, what do you want to call it? I don't know. A balance, I guess, or that dividing line he's still got. And you just, you honestly, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So we don't want to do something, to get out of his will, and you understand his sovereignty over everything. That's the fear of the Lord, like wisdom. You start understanding more about who God is. I think that's what, he does. He starts revealing himself more and more to you, that you do honor and respect him more, and you do fear him. And that's what I guess you pray, that I pray, we all pray, we've been praying for, that kind of thing, that there's repentance. That well, people need to know they're just man, they are just man. And their pride, their arrogance, their boasting, their idolatry of this and that, that they just don't understand that, God's going to hold everybody accountable for every work, every work that man does, whether you're, good or bad. You have to stand before him and give account for these things. So when you read the word, I think, for me, when you start reading the word and he starts revealing himself more to you and gives you understanding about his word, who is the Lord, who is God, right? He wrote it. It's a, he demands respect. He demands that we fear him in that healthy, normal, you're God and I'm just me, kind of that perspective, but then they still have that balance of we're his children and he loves us and he'll do anything for us, kind of thing. Anyway, that's kind of how I see it. I know he's going to give us more understanding about the fear of the Lord too as we grow, and as the judgments come. You can receive nothing except it come from heaven, and I think that's what people need to see and understand too, in place of there's a good God and he does good things, and there's the devil over here and he does bad things. That the people need to understand, no, it all comes from God. That's how I think it's, he wants us to see it too. Amen.
Amen. All right, Joe, go ahead.
First, I want to ask, Lord, please let me explain what I want to explain. In Isaiah 11, verse 2, fear of the Lord is the spirit of God. So that's a gift. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. There is a beginning of wisdom, there's instruction of wisdom, and it's wisdom itself. You know, wisdom is Jesus. Sorry. The Lord will give you Jesus. You understand, if you repent and believe, other words, you have a fear of the Lord, you understand who Jesus is, who God is. He give you the wisdom to have that fear. He give you his spirit, your understanding, and that's, I think it is part of who God is. It's one of his spirits. It's a gift. Lord Jesus is a gift. So everything is a gift. But you have to have a fear. You have to have a boldness. I think if you can think about Daniel, Moses, Noah, Job, all had the fear of the Lord, all had to walk with the Lord. In other words, you have to have that to be part to understand the kingdom of God and not man's fear, the Lord's fear. Thank you.
Okay. You ready to go, Missy? Okay, go ahead.
I've been sitting here listening to everybody and just really thinking about it myself. And fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this is kind of like how I would put it, how I understand it, is that, okay, you fear the Lord because you know you're gonna get spanked. Okay, first off, that's in my experience, that's why I have fear of the Lord, because I don't want to get spanked. But the more I came to know the Lord and knew who he was and knew all about him, that I know that he loves me and he doesn't spank me unnecessarily, and he doesn't even exact to me what I deserve. And the more I know him, the more I love him. And it's growing from, okay, fearing the Lord, to me that's like a little child. Matt and Anna would appreciate this. You know, what keeps them straight is the paddle. And then you come to know that, you know, your parents discipline you because you love them, and you learn not to. I know that my father loves me, and I learn not to want to sin because he does love me. And then he has good things for me. He has better things for me. He doesn't want to be spanking me all the time. He wants me to know that he loves me. And that's not what he wants to do. And he has good things for me, but he can't give me all those good things or as much. He gives me a lot of grace, you know, until I learn, you know, okay, his ways and why and so on and so forth. And my understanding of wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. So that's kind of my take on the fear of God, you know, because you it's like as you go, you know, as in my relationship, as I've grown in the Lord, there's not that so much that fear of getting spanked, because he's brought me to the place where I know that if I'm obedient to me to him, I'm going to be blessed because he loves me, and he wants to not just, and he has these promises, and those promises are to those to me because I'm obedient to him. Who rewards his child their child for being bad? I mean, seriously. You spare the rod, you spoil the child, kind of thing, or whatever. But anyway, so it's that's kind of my take on it. If that you understood all that, but anyway, so I think that's kind of wraps it up.
All right, go ahead, Andrew.
If there's a verse that says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's in the womb, but there is a matrix that we have to come out of too. You know, we have to come into new life too. We are born again, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made there too. You know, we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and which is collates with born again. And as that verse that Julie mentioned in Hebrews, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. But there is a temple made without hands. So someone else's hands is making it. It's not the hand of man, and it's a spiritual temple that he's making you into. And it's supposed to be unto the perfect man or woman. And so there's some fear in that too, the Lord, to be fearfully and wonderfully made. That the wonderful part we want, you know. And sometimes, you know, through much tribulation, you must enter the kingdom. And it's just weird how they collate grace with tribulation sometimes in those verses. And the verse of suffering for doing right, you know, and it may have something to do with that too, you know. You suffer for doing what's right, and like it says, you know, that if they would have known who Christ was, they would have never crucified him. They would have never killed him. And if they would have known who all the 12 apostles were, they would have probably treated him a lot better. Kind of makes you think twice about your brother and sister too, you know. Like, we're supposed to love one another, and there's a certain tendency on how the mix of fear happens there too, because of the multiverse denominationalism too, you know. You tend to go, well, what do I do about these people? You know, there are people out there who don't have the gospel, and they think they're okay with the minimal amount of gospel they have, which is forgiveness or something. I don't know. And well, that's just it. Praise God. Glory God.
I believe that's one of the reasons that the fear of God is one of the reasons that we ought to be in the Word all the time and learn what He wants from us. Look what Joe said. He said, this is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. Amen.
Hey Joe, what's that's Ecclesiastics, but where, what is it? Is that the, like the last chapter? I can't remember.
I remember we had a prayer meeting here doing the scriptures. I came to this guy's term to do it, and he had an Ecclesiastes word, and he didn't know how to pronounce it. And that thing had probably, when he got through, it probably had 10 or 12 different, when a word has two or three different, what do you call that?
Syllables.
Yeah. Syllables, yeah. He had about 12, 15 syllables in that thing. I'm telling you, we laughed. But anyway, I when I hear Ecclesiastes, I always think about that guy. He's a good guy. He went into fashion, but that's later. But anyway, it was good. It's funny while it lasts. But anyway, fear God and keep His commandments, for that's the whole duty of man. I'd keep you out of trouble with the Lord. Praise God. Anybody else? I like to keep that fear of the Lord always in the back of my mind in order to keep from getting in trouble. You understand what I'm saying? And because as most of you have already said, you know, the retribution that comes after a sin is not good most of the time, if not all the time. And so we have to keep our minds on the Word of God. And I think we'll be just fine. And I like what Andrew said. I'll tell you what, the Psalms is an awesome place to be. We talked about it here, I don't know, sometime back. about the Psalms, and guy was talking about doing the Psalms, doing a book of Psalms every day. I used to do that. I used to do it all the time, and I got out of it, and I've started reading it back, but not like I should. And I like the Psalms. I'm like Andrew. They build you up. They're good for Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Yeah, especially willfully sinning. Now you got to quit that, or he'll make you quit it. The Lord will. Well, any other thing on the fear of the Lord? Anybody got anything else on it? I tell you what, we could actually spend the whole night on the fear of the Lord, because it goes into so many different areas. Yeah, Joe.
I was just thinking, just for intellect, last week I did a study on, well, but your teaching was on fear of the Lord. That's why I get it, why I get that from. It's a very good teaching to think about now and again, to go through all of the fear of the Lord. What's the purpose of man? Why are you here? You have to have the fear to be obedient, to walk in His word. That's what you said, is it's a keeping His word, study your word. If you don't have a fear of the Lord, you've got man's fear of the Lord, but he teaches about God. That's not good. That's but if you on the walk you in the flesh. Thank you.
You know, Joe, the fear of the Lord, we ought to talk about it more often. You know why?
Yeah.
Because it stops people. It stops people in their tracks when you talk about the fear of the Lord. Well, gosh, I got to quit doing that. My goodness. Or whatever it is, you know. I think it's something that's healthy to speak about it or to learn about it. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
You know, is when I hear that scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I always think of the other hand, the fear of man is a snare. You know, if I have the fear of man, I'm not going to fear the Lord. If I have a fear of man, I'm not going to obey the Lord. And then that's not fearing God. If I'm not going to obey, if I don't fear him, I'm not going to obey him, you know. That's being foolish. That's being a fool, you know. Like that bear and her whelps scripture earlier. But anyway. So yeah.
Okay, you're through. Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Well, I'm just bringing my mind what you said, Missy. It's like, you know, the fool thinks in his heart there is no God. He doesn't fear God because he thinks that he can get away with whatever he's doing and God doesn't see anything. You know, there's a lot of scripture in Psalms and in Proverbs about that, about the fool and not believing that there's a God who sees. You know, thank you, Lord. You're coming with your vengeance on those who, on the wicked. Thank you, Lord, for doing that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's the fear of the Lord just stops people cold in their tracks and say, wait a minute, I better not do this. Wait a minute now. But a lot of people don't even understand what the fear of the Lord is. What it's for. Go ahead, Andrew.
What about that parable of the unrighteous judge? He didn't fear God or man. He had a real prideful ego understanding of himself. Couldn't imagine meeting a person like that, you know, and he doesn't fear God or man. And then there's the widow who wanted justice. There's a lot of appliance there that could apply for today.
Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
I think what people just understand in thinking most religions, it's just all about the love of God. Only about the love of God and nothing about the fear. You need to have the love and the fear of God to know God. Only to have the love, you only have half of God. That's a false Jesus, you know. You have to have a fear to have a fool, to know what's your responsibility. Thank you.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Give me just a second here.
Can I just share something with to add kind of what Sure. Joseph said?
Yeah.
Let's see. The first time that God declared who he was, you know, because Moses wanted to see his face, you know, and he said, "You cannot see my face, but I will pass before you." Anyhow, he said, it was in Exodus 34, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "Jehovah, Jehovah, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation." And I think that kind of speaks volumes about like how we're supposed to view God, you know, when he revealed who he was, you know, this is who I am. You know, he's also, so God is love, but he's also the other side, you know, he's that, you know, he's wrath. He has wrath too. And you need to understand that, like, you know, there's all these once saved, always, these all these false doctrines and stuff, the once saved, always saved and unconditional eternal salvation, all that kind of thing, that you're always going to be a sinner saved by grace. You know, and they take the blood of, you know, Christ, and they apply it to everything they could ever possibly do. And, you know, they don't have that fear of the Lord. And that's what's lacking. You know, I know you've talked about it, Michael, and I know David's talked about it and read about it, and God gives you that revelation. But I think that's what a lot of what's lacking in the churches and these apostate religions, you know, they don't have that fear of the Lord. So in my prayer time, I've been praying more so, you know, with revival, but with revival, there has to come like that fear of the Lord, you know, repentance that God, I've sinned and I'm wrong and I'm walking in darkness and crying out for mercy kind of thing. So, anyhow, what you said, Joe, just kind of made me think of that verse, but, you know, when Moses wanted to see his face and he revealed who he was, when he spoke who he was, but he couldn't, you can't physically see him. And that's the revelation of by the Spirit of God, that, you know, he reveals himself to each and every one of us personally about, you know, because if we're seeking the face of the Lord, we're seeking to know God and his righteousness and all those things. That's something he teaches us himself, you know, that we will all be taught of God. And he teaches us about who he is, and teaching us his nature and his character, and
what his name's all about and what he means when he says something, he's going to do it. He keeps his word. You know, and that's the other thing. It's like God said it, he's going to do what he said. So, you know, it's like if, you know, if he had a father who loved you and corrected you and spanked you because, you know, he warned you, this is wrong, you should not do this kind of thing. So then you get spanked. It's because he wants to turn us and wants to correct us that way. Anyhow, so thank you, Lord, for bringing that to the church, to your people. Amen.
Yes, Lord, thank you for doing that. Lord, place it in everybody's heart that calls himself a Christian to understand that you see everything. We can't hide anything from you, Lord. And sometimes a lot of people try it. We all try it at times. Lord, that's what you your retribution is about. To help us to understand that you are God. Anyway, anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Sorry. If you ever think about this verse, Michael, in Job, or anybody, 58, verse 3, he says, "The Lord spoke to Job, 'Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me.'" If you ever think about that, the Lord asking you that, that should give you fear of the Lord.
Could you give our scripture again? What'd you say?
Job chapter 38, 38, verse 3.
Gird up now thy loins like a man. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Lord asked Job,
Yeah. In other words, man, stand up and be who you're supposed to be. And I said me, right? That what he's talking about?
I was
Amen.
reading the verses before that, where it says, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" You don't know anything. You know, and then he goes on to tell Job, "Where were you when I did all these things?" You know? Anyway.
Yeah, I like what he says, though. The Lord tells him, he said, "Gird your loins up, man. Be like a man. Come on. A man of God, right? For I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me." Amen. All right. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you that you've put this in your word and remind us that who you are and that you know everything and us, we can't do anything that you don't already know what's going on. And Father, I just thank you and praise you and thank you for getting everyone on track that's listening. We praise you for all of us and listening, Lord. You know, sometimes we get to thinking, well, God's not listening to me. That's not what the word says. Thank you, Lord, that you are. That verse there that Joe said, this is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God. And keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You try veering from that, and you're going to get in trouble. Lord, place it in our minds all the time just to have that fear of you. That's a reverential fear, like Barbara was talking about earlier. It's a reverential fear. Like she said, you could twist us off into hell right quick if you wanted to. But praise God that you don't, that you have a lot of grace and mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, and like what you just said there, it, you know, it's kind of like before we, you know, we're supposed to be quick to hear and slow to speak. And it's like, all right, how should I respond to this? You know, I'm not going to get angry because I know that's wrong. You know, it's you have to be really careful about how we react to situations because, again, it's, you know, I don't want to sin. I know that then I got to repent and I got to go ask forgiveness. And I, you know, whatever it is, if I've hurt somebody else, and I got to go make it right with that person too. And it's like, we want to get past all that, you know, and grow up, you know, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, the reverence of God. And it's like, okay, thank you, Lord, for helping me overcome my flesh, you know, and responding in place of just stopping and listening, and how do I answer this? You know, how do I respond to this? And yeah, it's a mature thing, maturing that God's doing, that perfecting work He's doing in us. You know, as we come into more understanding and knowledge of Him and who we're supposed to be and how to do it and let Him do it in us. Thank you, God, for doing that.
None. I have a testimony about what happens when you run across people. This happened to me today. This day, I pulled into a gas station and the guy was parked this way, and the only spot open was this pump over here in front of him, and I had to pull in this way. And I got as close to him as I could. And I got out, went inside. If you pay cash, it's cheaper per gallon. So I went inside and gave him some money, told him I wanted to fill up. And I came back outside, and this guy was irate. We need to call the cops. He said, "You have run in and you have run into my car." I said, "No, I hadn't run into your car." He said, "Yeah, look, see, he's taking pictures." He said, "Let me see your driver's license. Let me see this. Let me see that." He said, "Or I'm going to call the police." I said, "Well, go ahead and call them." I said, "But let me back up and I'll show you. There's nothing wrong with your car." It was an old, raggedy old car anyway, but anyway, it didn't make any difference. And he said, "No, you're not. You don't move. Don't move." I said, "No, I'm going to move so I can show you." And I thought in my head some things that I shouldn't have thought. But anyway, I went ahead and backed up. He's might have been my age, might have been a little bit older. And he was just irate. I told him while I was standing, I said, "Ask your wife if I hit the car. She would have felt the bump." And or the lady in the car. And he said, "Well, she's mentally unstable." I said, "Well," I thought to myself, "well, that kind of, I know where she got it." But anyway, I didn't say it. I passed it up. And I said, "Well, I'm going to back up." And so anyway, this is after a bunch of yelling and screaming at me. And he said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." "What church you go to?" And I started telling him it ain't none of your business, but I told him, I said, I don't go to a regular church like you are used to. I said, "I go to a house fellowship." And, oh, anyway, I went ahead and backed my truck up. I said, "Show me where I hurt your car." He looked at it. He said, "Well, it doesn't look like it's hurt." I said, "That's what I've been trying to tell you, but you were so intent on getting me for something." I said, "How much gas are you getting?" He said, "Well, I don't have the $15. I'm just getting $15 worth." I said, I tell you what, I'm gonna give you 20 and let you go ahead and fill it up. How's that? He looked at me and he said, really? I see, it just changes everything around when you're being nice to somebody. That's what the Lord told me to do. He said, give him $20. And so I gave him $20, and he was so nice after that, you know. I know years earlier, I know what I would have done, but I didn't do it. Praise God. No, I wouldn't have hit him, man. I'd have gotten my truck and pushed him back out the way. But anyway, it was it just turned everything around when you're nice to somebody. Praise God. Lord gave me the grace to do that, because that's something that you learn through the word. Okay, that's a testimony to God's goodness. Yeah, Julie.
Well, those flesh killing lessons paid off, didn't they, Michael?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I sure did. Anybody else? Hey, we're getting up there. Thank you, Josie. Yeah. Hey, Debbie, I see you made it. We prayed for you that you and Shalonda get back nice and safe.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasant trip.
Did you bring any?
No.
No, you didn't bring any good things back.
I didn't go in the store. Just waiting.
Oh, okay. All right. Who's next? Lord, we just praise you and we thank you that you're placing in all Christians the fear of the Lord here shortly when the shaking starts and you start this great revival, and we'll be able to show people the love of Christ and show them the wonders and the signs and wonders of Christ and all the things that they have missed out on because they've listened to the stupid men that don't love you, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you that you're fixing to open up true Christians' minds, eyes. When the truth comes out, they're going to just run to you, Lord, because they see the love of God in each and every one of us. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I saw something today from Andrew Strom, and he's doing a new series on his YouTube channel to bring more light and expose the false revival movement that's still going on. And, you know, it's the same characters, the same people that are out there and stuff. So I don't know if there's more stuff that he's run into recently that people are still getting caught up in that. So I kind of like to pray for him and his YouTube channel and the message that he's putting out there with a lot of old clips from like the Brownsville and Toronto. And he's naming names and, you know, he has videos of everybody and stuff. So, Lord, I lift up Andrew Strom to you and his family and his ministry, his YouTube channel and all that is being exposed. And I pray, Lord, for your people not to be deceived and not to fall into this false move of the spirit, seeking if they would just, you put it in their hearts, your elect God and all our family members and people who are vulnerable and ignorant, they don't have the Holy Spirit for discernment. Lord, I just pray the blood of Jesus over them. I pray for your protection that they not get caught up in these things, that they will know by just knowing by you, Lord, that this is not of you and that they would flee when they see anything that looks like that does the fruit of that movement in Jesus' name, and that they would be protected. If they're going there looking for you, God, and they're in ignorance and in error,
Lord, that you would protect them. And I just pray your blessing on Andrew and his work and getting these messages out to people who don't know about it, Lord. And even the names that he's naming, they're very prominent in Christianity, and the charismatic movement is what he is calling it. It's very, you know, the charismatic movement and Pentecostal and all that stuff. But even just getting away from those kind of labels, Lord, we all just want to be your disciples and followers of Christ, that we don't have to have a name like that, like a Pentecostal Christian and that kind of thing. We're just Bible believing lovers of God and following Jesus, and just believe in everything that the word says, that we don't have to have a name on that. We have your name. And I just pray you give him wisdom and give him the words to speak. And even the comments, Lord, that there would be the comments being placed in there, that people would be able to minister to each other by their own testimonies and what they experienced and what they saw and that they remember. And the evidences of their lives, how it affected them. And they were so grateful to get out of that, and that God spared them, and all kinds of things, Lord. And I just thank you for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, for saving people from getting caught up in this movement, Lord, and spare them the grief. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bring that movement down. In Jesus' name, we send the angels out there to expose these people. I know who they are. Y'all know who they are. And we ask you and praise you, Father, for getting rid of that Kundalini spirit in the Christian world. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. That's all flesh stuff. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I think there's somebody else on YouTube that's been exposing some of them too. And it's like the Kundalini, you know, that whole laughter and the barking thing. And, you know, that's all wrapped up in the false prophetic too. It's all one big ball of yuck. So the false prophetic side of it in particular is really being and the sins of people that, and I mean, false prophetic, and not just being deceived and given false prophecies thinking it's from the Spirit of God. It's just out and out lying, deliberate deception. I mean, it's horrible. So we thank you, Lord, for bringing it all down and exposing it all. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for opening the eyes of the people that follow these ones, putting the fear of God in them, Lord, that they have a love of the truth, Lord. Put fear of God and love of the truth in them, Lord, and bring them out from among them and bring them to your true ministers, Lord. To the shepherds that will feed them with knowledge and understanding. Shepherds according to your heart. Thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Get rid of that stuff. What's his name still involved in it? The pastor from down at Florida. About
Lee.
It. Okay. Huh? All right. Anybody else? Well, Lord, we thank you for another good night tonight. And we thank you for bringing these subjects to our attention and helping us to get through it with some good education for all of us. And we thank you, Father, that we understand now. And we praise you. We thank you for all that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. Bless everybody tonight with a good night's sleep or a good day's work, everywhere you are in the world. And we praise you and thank you for it, Father. And help us to keep our minds on you, Lord. And keep us from being distracted by the things that don't matter. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear?